All right. Rick says our computer crashed, so he's recording the audio up here on the phone. Good morning. This is Jenny's and my 35th anniversary today. My beautiful and kind-hearted bride, I'm very grateful to God for. So the first thing this morning, when we see each other, what are the first words out of my mouth? Gators pulled it out. And she says, "Oh, that was not what I was expecting." And then I don't know what happened from there. It all went downhill. Here's a couple of verses I'd like you to remember. We're going to come back to them at the end of the lesson. And they kind of set the stage for this morning's sermon. Psalm 63, the Psalm of David, verses 1 through 8. "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." And here's another passage. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David." We're going to be talking about destroying deceitful desires this morning. So how in the world do these verses connect with destroying deceitful desires? Hopefully by the end of the lesson, we'll understand a little bit more about that. A person who is deceived, by definition, does not even know that they are deceived. That's the deadly effect of believing and acting on lies. Lies can so alter our thinking that we do not even realize that we are deceived. And again, that's by definition the very nature of deception. We're so deceived we don't even know it. Jesus would call the Pharisees blind and fools. They were blind. They were deceived. And they didn't see it. And that's the nature of deception. And so when the Bible says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick, who can understand it?" We ask the question, why is the heart so deceitful? Well, because it lies to us and because we lie to ourselves. The heart lies to us. In other words, how we feel, what we think can often be a lie and contrary to the truth that God wants us to understand. So the heart is deceitful above all things. It lies to us. What we think is so, what we feel is right, may be wrong. It's a deceitful heart. And we lie to ourselves, perhaps without even knowing it, because we want to lie to ourselves so that we can keep doing what we want to be doing and feel what we want to be feeling. Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." One reason that our heart is deceitful is because we lie to ourselves in order to keep on sinning. And so our heart deceives us. We feel, perhaps, that we're right with God because we want to. And we keep lying to ourselves because we want to keep on doing what we're doing. And if we're not careful, then we can be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. In other words, become blind to it, become hardened in our hearts to the fact that we are in sin. We're deceived. We lie to ourselves and we let our heart lie to us. But why are we sinning? Now, that may seem like an obvious question, but I think this question will get to the heart of how we go about destroying deceitful desires. We need to understand why we're sinning so that we can understand what's going on and fix it. So let's look at this question. Why are we sinning? Sin's deception is rooted in our desires. And when I talk about we, I'm talking about us as Christians. I'm talking about people who know the truth and people who want to serve God and people who want to go to heaven. People who profess Christ. Sin's deception is rooted in our desires. It's important for us to understand that that's how sin deceives us. It's rooted in our desires. James 1 and verses 14 and 15. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death, separation from God. And if we die in sin, eternal separation from God, death. And so it's desire that we need to be concerned about. It's desire where we need to put our focus on if we want to overcome and destroy deceitful desires. We have to understand what's going on inside of us. What are our desires? And how do those desires work? And how can we be deceived by them? We do what we want to do. We've always said that, right? Everybody knows that. That's the truth. When somebody offers an excuse, oftentimes I'll say, well, we do what we want to do. We do what we want to do. That's very true. It's hardly ever that I don't do what I want to do. I mean, somebody has to force me to do what I don't want to do. We do what feels good. We do that a lot. We always want to do what feels good. We don't want to do what feels bad. Who wants to do that? So we do what feels good. And then our heart may lie to us about that thing. That desire that's going on inside of us becomes a deceitful desire because we want to do what we want to do, but it's contrary to God's will. But we lie to ourselves and we allow ourselves to do it by deceiving, by allowing our desires to deceive us. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about deceitful desires. So look back in the Garden of Eden and you'll see three ways at least that the devil deceives us to sin. It all has to do with our desires. Sin can take a natural good desire and entice us to satisfy it in a way that can only hurt us. Eve saw that the tree was good to look at, the fruit was good to look at, good to touch, good to taste. And so a little voice says, go ahead, this will make you feel good. This will bring you pleasure. After all, God wants you to be happy. And we believe the lie because we want to, because we have a desire, because this is what's going on inside of us. We see, we touch, we taste, we feel, we want. And so we believe the lie that it's okay, that it's good. It'll make us happy. God wants us to be happy. It'll make us feel good. Or secondly, the devil can deceive us by promising what he can't deliver. Sin promises what it can't deliver. The devil told Eve, you will become like God. And so sin says, go ahead, do it. You'll feel better. You'll be more fulfilled. Life will be better for you. Go ahead. You need this. It'll bring you happiness. You'll be like God, the devil told Eve. Sin produced a desire in her that could not be delivered upon. And then, thirdly, sin convinces us that what happens to others will never happen to us. You surely will not die, the devil told Eve. And so we hear that same message today. When we have a desire, a want, we want to feel something, feel good, do something that makes us happy or brings us pleasure and it's contrary to God's will, then we think we can get away with it. We think we can get away with it. We think that there won't be any consequences to that. We deceive ourselves, you see. We lie to ourselves. The heart is deceitful. It tells us it's okay. we'll do it. We can get away with it. It'll make us feel good. After all, you need this and God wants you to be happy. And so you can see what's going on inside of us is based on these deceitful desires. They're lying to us. They're deceiving us. We're lying to ourselves. And that's why we continue to sin. That's why we continue in sin, because of our desires. They're called deceitful desires in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. So what can keep us from sinning? Not verse 32. I'll give you the verse in just a second. 22. What can keep us from sinning? Well, Ephesians 4 and verses 22 through 24 tells us that we're to put off our old self, which belongs to our former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, you read that and you hear that, and you have to really look at that, don't you? And what is he saying there? Is this the answer? It says to put off our old self. It says to put off the corruption that comes through deceitful desires. But I don't understand what he's talking about there. What does it mean to be renewed in the spirit of our minds? How do I do that? What does that mean? We've been talking a lot about that all year long in regard to the fruit of the Spirit, haven't we? And the point we've been making on that is the Bible teaches us that the Spirit of God produces this fruit in us. And so here when Paul talks about being renewed in the spirit of our minds, it probably connects something to that, don't you think? That we need to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. The Spirit of God produces this fruit in us. So what does it mean to be renewed in the spirit of our minds? What does that look like? And I want you to get back to the idea of desires, to properly understand what's going on inside of us. It has to do with our desires. Why do we desire anything or anyone? And so I looked up, synonyms and so forth for desire, to wish for, to want, to long for, to yearn for, to crave, to set one's heart on, to hanker after. There's a good Southern way of saying it. To pine for, to thirst for, itch for, be desperate for, be bent on, have a need for, covet, aspire to, feel like, feel in need of. That's what's going on inside of us. We have desires, wants, emotions, feelings. And so now, we want to feel better. It's all about pleasure. It's all about benefit, happiness, joy, satisfaction, security, emotions. Our choices usually reflect on what will make us feel better or what will benefit us the most or what will provide us the greatest level of security. Or what will make us happy, or what will give us pleasure, or what will satisfy us. That's what we do. That's how we live. That's who we are. We act upon our desires. And the problem with that, of course, is that there are deceitful desires. There are desires that we have that are not according to God's will. And we lie to ourselves in order to fulfill those desires. Or we allow those desires to lie to us. Our heart lies to us and tells us that we will be happy. We will be satisfied. We will be fulfilled. This will bring us pleasure. This is enjoyable. And to a certain extent, that's true, right? The Bible talks about the passing pleasures of sin in Hebrews chapter 11. It says that Moses chose to endure the reproach of Christ rather than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin in Egypt. He was in Pharaoh's household. He could have any pleasure he wanted. And they were passing pleasures. And that's how the Bible refers to them. And so they're deceitful desires. They're passing pleasures. They don't really satisfy. They don't really benefit when they're contrary to God's will. But that's the lie that we tell ourselves. And we're living and acting upon our feelings, our emotions, our desires, what feels good. Now, relate to that in your own way. Relate to that with your sins. Relate to that with the things that you find you have difficulty with. And it's all about your desires. It's all about your emotions, your feelings, your wants. It'll make you feel better. It'll make you happy. It'll give you security. You'll lie on your taxes because you want more money, because that makes you feel more secure. Or whatever it may be that you have a difficult issue with, you do it because it makes you feel better. If you have a problem with anger, you vent it. You think it'll make you feel better, does it? Never does. Maybe for that moment, while you're doing it, but very quickly, you realize that was a deceitful desire. And that's the way we tend to operate. So how are we going to overcome sin? And the Bible says, set your mind on the things of the Spirit of God will destroy the works of the flesh. We've been talking a lot about that over the past year, right? But I don't know yet that we've really identified as fully as we need to what that looks like and what that means. And I think you're going to find that what it means is what we have to do is we have to allow God to be our greatest pleasure, our greatest benefit, our greatest emotion, our greatest desire. And LJ talked a lot about that. Aaron talked about that in the singing of the songs. And again, when you hear that, you say, yes, that's true. I see that. I know that. I've heard that. I think that's in the scriptures. And you ask yourself, well, what does that look like? What does that mean? How does that happen? And then you maybe even be asking yourself, is that even true of me? And what if it's not? I guarantee you, based on the teachings of the scriptures, that if God is not your greatest desire, that you will be captured by the deceitful desires of the flesh. That is the problem. And that's because we function on our emotions. We function on our feelings. We function on our wants. That's the way we are. We're of the flesh, and what we want, we desire, we feel, we get. And we want more. We want this. We want that. We operate on what makes us feel good, what makes us feel better. So if God is not your greatest desire, then you're going to be captured by deceitful desires. And you're going to continue to have difficulty with certain issues and problems. So you're dealing with these things and you're not making any progress with them. Why not? Why aren't you? Why aren't you overcoming? Why aren't you winning this victory that God tells you you're supposed to have? Why do you continue to struggle? Why do you have the same things happening over and over and over again? It concerns you. You're worried about it. You're wondering whether if the Lord should come today, that in fact you'd even be saved. And yet the Bible tells us that we're supposed to welcome the Lord's coming. That we should know that we have eternal life. And you're a little concerned about that because that's not the way you feel. Why don't you feel that way? Why are you worried? Is it because God is not your greatest desire and you kind of know that? So how can I help you? How can the Word of God help you? How can God help you? He wants the truth to bring us pleasure. He wants the truth to produce emotions of love and joy and gratitude and peace and comfort. He wants the truth to produce in us a strong desire to learn His truth and to do His will. He wants us to associate pleasure and happiness with learning and doing His will. He wants us to feel joy and fulfillment in Him. That's what he wants. He wants us to feel, to have emotion, to have desires, to have wants in him, for him, for his will, for his nature, for his majesty, for his goodness, for his love, for the purpose for which we were created, for the goal that he has us ascending to, for our ultimate destiny, for the glory that awaits us, for the fellowship that we have now, for the comfort that we feel in him when we are close to him and draw near to him. He wants us to feel. Because guess what? We act on our emotions. We act on our feelings. We make choices according to what we feel and how we feel and what makes us feel good and what makes us feel better. And so you're feeling good or better by things that are contrary to God's will because that's all you know. Those are the feelings you're having. That's what makes you feel. And you're not feeling anything in God. You're not taking pleasure in God. Why aren't you? You hear this and you know this and you say, I know it's true, but it's not happening to me. Why not? I'm telling you, it's simple. I've been telling everybody I can talk to what the Bible says about this. You got to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You're not dwelling on God. You're not going into the Word. You're not. I'm telling you, if you're having these problems and you're not overcoming sin and you're continuing to do the same things over and over again, you're not getting any pleasure in God. You're going through the motions. Now, you want to be right with God and you want to go to heaven and you want to serve God, but you're not getting any pleasure from that, really. It's just, you're just doing it. So what are you going to do about that? Here's a good example. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, wastefulness, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think Paul's using wine here, drunkenness and wine, to emphasize this physical, temporary pleasure that we might feel. Do not be drunk with wine. Don't get yourself feeling good with wine. Does wine make you feel good? Can it? Yeah. Temporarily, right? Till you wake up the next morning, right? Or maybe you do something terrible that night when you're under the influence. Yeah, so temporarily, wine can make you feel good. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is wastefulness, but be filled with the Spirit. He's contrasting the things that make us feel good, the physical and the spiritual. Don't feel good with wine. Feel good with the Spirit. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord. Do you take pleasure from singing? Or do you just sing? See? Do you take pleasure from praying? Do you take pleasure from reading God's Word and dwelling and meditating on Him? Do you take pleasure from serving Him, from doing some good deed for a brother or sister that you know is in need and are having a difficult time? Do you take pleasure in God? Do you take pleasure? Do you feel good? Is that what drives you? Is that what makes you happy? That's, I think, the root of this. And the only way that we can develop that emotion, that feeling, that pleasure, that benefit that we have, that comfort, that joy, that peace, that inner comfort that the Bible talks about, that the Holy Spirit provides. The church was walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Acts 9 and verse 31. Comforted, secure, peaceful, joyful, happy, blessed. Because they were setting their mind on God and they were taking their joy and their pleasure in Him and in doing His will and in pleasing Him. That was their focus. That was their emotion. That was their joy. That was their happiness. So we've got to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. Look at this. Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing I have desired, David said of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. One thing I desire. Psalm 42, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Oh, I want God. Psalm 35, 9, and my soul shall rejoice in the Lord. It shall exult in His salvation. Is that not emotion? Is that not pleasure? Satisfaction? Happiness? Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The deceitful desires lie to you. They will not satisfy. You will not be happy. You will not be comforted. You will not be secure. You will not be blessed. But God will satisfy you. God will bless you. God will make you happy. He will give you the desires of your heart when you set your mind on Him and you desire Him. I shall delight in Your statutes. Psalm 119, verse 16. I shall not forget Your word. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. Taking pleasure in God's commandments, meditating on them, thinking about their wisdom and their justice and their righteousness and their goodness and their blessing. I delight, David said. Greater the works of the Lord, they are studied by all who delight in them. And so David's in this short list of Psalms here, there's lots more. Is just indicating why he was who he was. Why he served the Lord faithfully. He slipped, he fell, he sinned greatly. And God forgave him of his sin. And he continued to write Psalms and continued to find his joy in the Lord. He repented and he turned to God and found his joy and his delight and his satisfaction in God. How did he do that? By setting his mind on the things of the Spirit. I'm telling you, we don't do that. Not enough, or else we wouldn't be continually fighting the same problems that we've been fighting. We wouldn't. Sometimes we realize things, I'm spending too much money. And I just have a problem with money. I go out and I buy things, and I shouldn't buy them. I'm getting myself into debt. I'm in over my head. And I don't seem to be able to fight my way out of that. I keep doing the same stuff I've been doing all along. Or it may be something else. It may be alcohol. It may be something that makes us feel better. Or it may be pornography. Because it makes us feel better. And the reason why we're giving into these desires, these deceitful desires, is because we don't desire God. Not enough. Because we act on our emotions. We do what we want. We do what makes us feel good. We do what we think will make life better. And so the solution to the deceitful desires, the way to destroy them, is to set your mind on the things of the Spirit so that you will take your joy in God and in His will. And then you won't sin. You won't keep doing that because it doesn't bring you pleasure. It's like Paul said in Romans 12, very simply, he said, love what is good, abhor what is evil. Love what God loves, hate what God hates. Why? Because I find my joy in Him. He's what makes me happy. I'm going to hate what He hates. I'm not going to keep doing what I've been doing. And so we come back to Isaiah 55, which we started with. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Can you trust that? Will you believe that? Then what are you going to do? I'm asking you to change what you do. God is asking you to change what you do. If you're finding yourself continually acting on your desires, and some of them are wrong and sinful desires, and you're having difficulties in areas of your life, whatever it may be, or even if you just aren't feeling that happiness and that joy and that contentment and peace in God, I'm asking you, God is asking you to do what He tells you to do. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. That's the way God says it. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. That's wastefulness. But be filled with the Spirit. Do you know what that looks like now? A little bit better? Do you know what that means? It means to take joy in God, to draw near to God, spend time in God's Word, to spend time with prayer, to draw near to God and find happiness there. That's the simple answer in the Bible. Simple answer, but perhaps difficult to do. Until you make up your mind. And that's what the goal of this lesson was this morning. You know, you look in a mirror. Every Sunday, you look in the mirror when we come to services, right? Wednesday night, we look in the mirror, come to services, spend time in prayer maybe during the week, look in the mirror, and we see what kind of person we are. We look into God's Word and it shows us, I've got some things I need to do better or fix or thoughts that I need to have differently and so on. And then we go away and we forget what manner of person we are. Why? Because we're taking no pleasure in God. And so we go out and we just satisfy the pleasures. We do what we want. We do what we feel. And we're taking no pleasure in God. And that's why we continue to take pleasure in the deceitful desires. So, there's only one reason why you're not overcoming your weaknesses and your sins. You're deceiving yourself. You believe that you're right with God, but you have a heart problem. Your desire is not for God. It's for your own deceitful pleasures. You're doing what you want to do because it makes you feel better, you think. It's a deceitful desire. You want to do what you want to do because you make it. You think it makes you feel or do better. It's a lie, but you believe it. And there's only one way for you to fix your problem. Allow God to produce in you a desire for Him. The Spirit of God produces the fruit of the Spirit. Allow God to do that. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Start to feel the emotions of pleasure and joy in seeking God and in obeying His will above all things. Now, I've been thinking about this all week long and analyzing. That's always dangerous when I think and analyze and overthink and overanalyze and overthink. And I try to boil it down to something I can use. And I think in my analysis that this is the most fundamental of all lessons that I could ever teach myself from the Word of God. That's how I've ended up with this. It's the most fundamental lesson of all. Because I want to go to heaven. and I want to do God's will, and I want to be faithful to Him. So what am I going to do to make sure that happens? I'm going to have to replace my deceitful desires with a desire for Him. And unless I do that, I will find myself flailing away at it till the day I die. And I don't know what my condition will be. And I don't know what kind of comfort and security that I will have along the way. Will I always be worried about my eternal salvation if I continue to live in that mindset? I think so. And so I think this is to be the most fundamental of all lessons. And I hope that you will take action on this, and that you will talk about this, and that you will find joy in drawing closer to God and in setting your mind on the things of the Spirit, and talk about that and share your joy and share your pleasures. And, you know, come to services. Why don't you? Because you don't want to. I'm telling you, it's because you don't want to when you don't come. You don't come to Bible classes because you don't want to. You know that's true. Most of the time it's true. I mean, you can make ways to figure things out so that you can come to services, usually. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you got a work schedule that just completely destroys any possibility of you being. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying, think about this. Some people don't come to services just because they don't want to, and that's just the bottom line. Recognize it, at least, in yourself. Nobody's harshly condemning anybody here. We're all sinners. But think about these things so that you don't continue in the same pattern of just going through the motions. Because I think sometimes that's what we do very easily. And this, hopefully, this lesson will help us not to do that. Appreciate your good attention this morning. We're going to stand and sing a song, and if anyone would like to obey the gospel this morning, knowing and understanding the gospel of Christ, and knowing what you need to do and being driven to do it by your conscience, then we stand ready to help you. The very new baptism for the remission of your sins, become a child of God. And if you're already a Christian and you'd like the prayers of the congregation for whatever reason, we also invite you to come as we stand and sing.